There is a temptation that when perilous times come, I don't want to stand out that I'm a Christian. Am I right about it?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Danger, railroad crossing, rip tides. Warnings are meant to be heeded. Such a warning is found in 2 Timothy 3, and it is intended to prepare the Lord's people to face difficult times ahead, especially when it can be sensed that the rapture is near. Nevertheless, the message we will hear this evening from Pastor Brian Grant is filled with hope and confidence for those who are using the shortness of time to redouble their efforts to fulfill their mission for Christ. Here now is Pastor Grant with the concluding part of his message, God's Counsel for Perilous Times.
The God who sustained Paul and filled his heart with joy will sustain us in our hour of trial, amen? No matter how tough it may become, Christian, don't lose hope, amen? Hold on to Jesus, because the God who sustained Paul and filled his heart with joy will sustain us in our hour of trial. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure. You remember that song? For his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. By his grand redemption, by his grace divine, we can shout, we are on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Savior, we are thine. My friends, perilous times are coming, but we need not fear, for Romans 8:37 assures us that what we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Add that to your vocabulary if you don't know that verse, Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen, you can write this. God's amazing grace can sustain us despite the heat of the fire and no matter how perilous times may become. I wonder if somebody would shout amen to that. God's amazing grace can sustain us despite the heat of the fire and no matter how perilous times may become. In 1555, Thomas Hawkes was told that unless he recanted his faith, he would be burned at the stake. But he refused, for his faith was anchored in the Lord. The day before he was to be burnt alive, his friend said to him, Thomas, I hear a lot of people talking about the grace of God and about God's grace and how God's grace can help. Thomas, could you do me a favor? Tomorrow when you're burning at the stake, if God is able to make the pain tolerable and to keep your mind at peace, would you please lift up one of your hands so I can know that what people are talking about is true, that God's grace is for real? The next day, Thomas Hawkes, he agreed to do it, and the next day he was bound to the stake and lit on fire. After he was burning for a while, everybody thought, because it looked like he was finished, that he was dead. But suddenly, to everyone's surprise, Thomas Hawkes, his arms started going up, and to everyone's surprise, Thomas Hawkes did not only raise one, he raised both.
And here is, I was shocked when I read this story, but Thomas Hobbes didn't only raise two hands. With his hands aflame, Thomas Hobbes started clapping. Three times he clapped with his burning hands above his head. He was thanking God for his grace, for God's grace had sustained him. Sometimes we speak about God's grace so flippantly that sometimes people don't get recognize that God's grace is real, and God's grace can sustain you, and God's grace can strengthen you. Thomas Hobbes had experienced it. And my friend, no matter what we may face in life, we need to rest in the grace of Jesus. Write this down in your notes, please. We can anchor our faith in Jesus, for his grace will always sustain us. Amen. His grace will always sustain us. First, the certainty of perilous times. Second, the severity of perilous times. But third, the Christian's response to perilous times. Let me share with you, before we bring this to an end, three things as to how we should respond in perilous times. Just three things I want to leave with you. Here's the first thing I want to leave with you. Don't try to fit in. Amen? There is a temptation that when perilous times come, I don't want to stand out that I'm a Christian. Am I right about it? We try to fit in. But may God help us that we will stand courageously for Jesus, because he will give us the grace to handle whatever comes our way. Don't try to fit in. Here's how chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 reads. But know this, that in the last days perilous time will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Although the Bible was written over 2,000 years ago, it has accurately described what's going on today. Wouldn't you agree with me? And I'll be honest, I am not that old. And I can tell you that my short lifetime, there has been a dramatic change in this world. Is there anybody else who would agree to that? Who else would say there has been a dramatic change in the world? And it's hard for us to believe some of what is normal today. But as I looked at this, people are so madly in love with themselves and their money. They're so madly in love, they readily share posts about what they bought, where they went, who they met, and what they're doing. No, I'm not criticizing you, because I've posted a few times myself. But I want us to look at how the internet has given us the opportunity to put to a max everything God had already described. But there's more. Blasphemy, which means a lack of reverence for God, is now the norm. It talks about blasphemers. A lack of reverence for God is now the norm. People say anything about God. They will curse him. They will do whatever. Disobedience to parents has reached such a level that roles have been switched. And many parents now have learned to obey their children. You go to the mall. You go to places and you see mom has to obey the kid, or the kid will act up. You better do what the child says. Disobedience to parents is now at a max. There's a growing epidemic. The Bible talks about people out of control. People are totally, it is cancerous in our society today. Just imagine how many hundreds of thousands of young people are dying every day just for one thing. They cannot control themselves regarding drugs. And the politicians have no answers to the growing problems with drugs, with guns, with flash mobs, with senseless murders, and on and on. But my friend, God is not dead. And God is going to take action. And if he delays his coming, we can expect a worsening of these very perilous times. Sadly, the devil is a crafty old fox. Stay with me now, Christian. And what he's trying to do is to get us to fit in. May God help us. Because sadly, many are compromising the word of God, and many Christians are just going along. They're fitting in. And if you see some of the posts, even some of the churches, what they're posting, the devil is a crafty old fox. But I want to challenge you, young people and older ones, let's recommit to serving God despite the cost. Amen. It may cost to serve Jesus, but let me tell you, it will pay, and it will pay, and it will pay. You said, Pastor, you're bringing me a very negative message. You know, this is not a negative message. We got to preach what God wants us to know. Amen. God wants us to know this, so that we might prepare and we may not slip and slide, as is what's going on today. That those of us who stand here will faithfully proclaim the word of God rather than a message that makes people feel good. Be careful about what you hear coming from pulpits today. For Paul says in the last days, look at one of the things he says, many will have a form of godliness. It sounds godly, but it denies the power of God. Not everyone who says in Jesus' name is representing the Savior. And so it's important that we look at the last phrase of verse number 5, where the Bible tells us, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And what was the last part of verse 5 says? Tell me, talk back to the preacher. What does it say? And from such people turn away, or have nothing to do with such people. Not everyone who says in Jesus' name is representing the Savior. Instead of trying to fit in, the Bible says, turn away. May God help us that we will stand straight and tall for Jesus. Amen. May God help us not to fall in love with the world, that we will stand courageously with our Savior. The first response to perilous time, don't try to fit in. But here's the second thing. Be prepared to suffer for Christ. Be prepared to suffer for Christ. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. Verse 10 I'm reading from. Long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, oh, mark verse number 12 in your Bible. Can we read that verse together, verse 12? What does it say? Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Will suffer persecution. What does the word will mean? It's going to happen. Oh, you say, Pastor, why don't you preach a message that tells me how that the good times are going to roll? Yes, the good times are going to roll, and the good times, listen, once we have Jesus in our hearts, the good time will roll, amen, because one day the upper taker is going to come and take us to heaven to be with him. But as long as we're on earth, he says, live faithfully for me, amen, live faithfully to me, for me, and all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Hold your finger in 2 Timothy and jump to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that what? We should follow his steps. What were his, what are we following? Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. May God save us from false prophets. May God save us from those who tell us that every good Christian has been promised a bag of goodies while here on earth. Amen. First, response to perilous times. Don't try to fit in. Second, be prepared to suffer for Christ. And third, we must hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant word of the living God. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that God has preserved it for us? And when we hold fast to the word of God, we will not only come to know God better, but we will learn to trust him fully and enjoy him abundantly. Thank God for the Bible. I'm glad I have the Bible. I'm glad that we can study it and we can live by it and we can experience God's power as we submit to it. Let me finish by leaving you with two final quotes that are in your notes. St. Augustine said, "The Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, but deep enough for an elephant to swim." Do you like that one? The Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown. Go home and chew on that. Young people, you won't drown if you spend time in God's word. Amen? Not even a child will drown. So we need to start our children early. Amen? Because the children won't drown, but it is deep enough for an elephant to swim. No matter how mature you are, how knowledgeable you are in the things of God, this Bible is still something. There's still more and more and more for us to grow. Amen. Are you taking time with the Bible? Or is the Bible, does it get dusty until it's church time? Are you opening it? Rex B. Andrews said, "The most foolish person in the world is the one who has the opportunity to read, digest, and be immersed in the Bible, but doesn't do it because of preoccupation with other things in the world." And may I say, the devil's greatest trick is to get us so preoccupied with other things that we end up saying, what? I don't have time for the Bible. I don't have any time. I'm busy. Rex Andrews said, the most foolish person in the world is the one who has the opportunity to read, digest, and be immersed in the Bible, God's holy word. But they don't do it because they're busy doing other things. My God, challenge us today as we discuss this topic about the perilous times that will come to the church. Can you imagine how critical it's going to be as we face perilous times that the word of God is hid in our heart? My God, cause us to hold it. You know, I thank God for the Bible's primary message. It's a message that says, despite our sin and our evil ways, God loves us and has devised a plan to save us from our sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you have never opened your heart to receive the eternal life that God offers, I trust today you will receive it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us, for alerting us that perilous times are coming before you take us home. Help us to be equipped. Help us to make a dedication today that, God, you can depend on me. I will not forsake you. Lord, cause that we may be willing to make that recommitment, that we will serve you because we love you, and despite how hot the fire may get, we will stand and live for Jesus. For the person who doesn't know you, I pray that your spirit may work in their heart and they'll come to trust you today, for Christ's sake. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.